special thanks to our chancel choir and to all who so graciously assist in our worship of the Lord our God. And a big thanks to all of you, for I know these are busy, busy days. And you've made this hour a priority, and we're certainly blessed by your presence and with your participation. I hope that you'll be able to join us this evening. You might need a nap this afternoon, and hopefully the Falcons will beat the Saints. But we'll gather this evening here in the Father's house at 7 and 11 for our annual Christmas Eve Vespers program. We'll conclude our Vespers worship by candlelight as we celebrate Holy Communion. Thanks for your being here today. More than 30 years ago, it doesn't seem that long, but more than 30 years ago in my pastoral ministry, I began making a shift in my sermon on the fourth Sunday of Advent and on Easter Sunday. It appeared to me that on those two particular Sundays, almost everyone in attendance would know what you were going to preach about. And so I decided that on these two Sundays, the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is today, and on Easter Sunday, my sermon as such would be in the format of a dramatic monologue. And so now for 30 plus years on these Sundays, it has been my great desire and delight to share from God's Word in a monologue in which I assume the personality, the role of one of the biblical characters. This morning in my Christmas monologue, I will portray a Judean shepherd. And I hope that you will listen and perhaps understand something of his experience. And his experience may parallel much of our own experience. The reading of Scripture is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. As you're able, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. May we hear now the Word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told unto them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in these moments of our worship through proclamation, grant now that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and honoring to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Shalom and greetings to you in the name of our Savior, whose birth we celebrate this holy season. Just a few moments ago, you heard from your pastor that I am a Judean shepherd. And I feel humbled this morning to be here. And if you've got a few minutes, I'd like to share with you something of my experience concerning the birth and the life of this one whose birth we celebrate these holy days. As a shepherd, I come from a long line of shepherds. My father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather were all shepherds, and I learned something of my livelihood from them. As you might well know, the nights out here on these Judean hillsides are terribly dark and lonely. Late at night, you can hear the whistling of the wind, or in the distance, the howling of some wild animals. And of course, the major constant out here as a shepherd is always the sheep. As most of you know, you can't drive sheep, but you can attempt to lead them. And as sheep, they're always smelly. Someone said this morning they were even stinking. Sheep are always squirming. They're stubborn. They're absolutely defenseless. Their tendency, even at night, is to wander away from the fold or the flock. And of course, if a sheep should wander from the fold, as a shepherd, it's my obligation, my responsibility, to leave the fold and to go out and to look and to look and to search until I find that wayward sheep, and then to restore him to the flock. To be honest with you, there have been many a time when I have dreaded another long night out here with these sheep. That is until one particular definitive night. As I recall that most remarkable night, the air was still, and the sheep were rather restful. Even the creatures of the night were silent. The only sound that punctuated our thoughts, our emotions that night, was the crackling of our flickering campfire. As I remember that particular night, in my innermost thoughts, I was thinking of my family, my father. I was thinking of my wife and our children. And somehow in the meditation of my heart that night, I began to think of ultimate thoughts, ultimate realities. And so I thought with gratitude about our beloved nation, the nation of Israel. I thought about the Lord God, Yahweh, the Lord of our people. And as I thought about all that Yahweh had done and had said through his holy word, I found myself thinking about those promises in the sacred scrolls concerning the coming of Messiah. I can remember rather vividly as a child, my father sharing in the home from God's word, often quoting from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign, and you will see a virgin who conceives and bears a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. One of my favorite passages from the sacred writings is also from Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Somehow through the ages, these inspired words have offered hope and comfort to our troubled world. As most of you know, Israel, my beloved nation, had not known peace nor goodwill for many hundreds of years. For you see, Israel, for 500 years plus, had been an oppressed people. We had been a subjugated people, always under the thumb of some oppressive power. It seemed to me that in our day, everyone was out for himself. There was little thought or respect or regard for one's fellow man. And I remember on that particular night, as I thought about ultimate thoughts, how I wish that all of that would change, and especially for my children as they grew up. As I was thinking there about these sad and deplorable conditions, suddenly the very dead of night burst alive with the most dazzling, the most brilliant light. Needless to say, we shepherds were stunned. We jumped to our feet, not knowing what to expect. And as we looked upward toward that light, suddenly we heard a voice from above. And as we looked and steadied our gaze, there from the heavens stood an angel. Now, I've heard about angels. The rabbis would often speak about angels or angelic messengers, but I'd never seen nor heard one until that night. The angel could tell that we were terrified. And to us shepherds in our terror, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby, a brand new baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and bands of cloth and lying in a manger." We were so taken by that experience, by that revelation. We knew that we must do something. And so we decided that we would go into Bethlehem and find this baby. Bethlehem was just a few miles away. And if we went with haste, we could be there before daylight. And so as we walked rather quickly toward Bethlehem, our hearts were beating, almost about to burst. And there in the little village of Bethlehem, not in a hotel, not in an inn, but rather in a stable, in a cave, hewn out from the mountain behind the inn, we found this little Galilean family, the husband, whose name was Joseph, his teenage wife named Mary, and there lying in that trough from which the animals were fed was this little baby boy crying, restless, stretching his little hands and feet. We were so captured by that moment, and we knew that something unique, something extraordinary was happening, and we were witnesses to it. I asked, "What's his name?" And the little mother said, "His name is Jesus." And Jesus means in our tongue the salvation of God. As the situation relaxed, as we engaged in further conversation, Joseph shared with us that several months earlier, when he had learned that Mary was pregnant and that this was not his son, they were not even married yet, he was pondering what to do. And in a dream one night in his home, an angel came and said, "Joseph, do not worry about Mary. Do not be reluctant to take her as your wife. For she is with child, but this child is the Son of God. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, I want you to be his earthly father, his dad. And I want you to name him Jesus. For he has come to save his people from their sin." Now, all of this to which we are exposed and learning was certainly not what we'd expected, and especially concerning the coming of God's Son. But this is how it happened, and we are witnesses to that experience. In fact, we have attempted to tell everyone we see about this wonderful event. We want everyone we see or know to learn about the coming of Messiah. And yet I must confess, and you'll understand, you know how it is with us humans. Somehow, time, devotion, enthusiasm just fade away. They slide from us and from our immediate consciousness. And so it wasn't too long, my Christian friends, until we had settled back down in our old familiar routine. And to be further honest with you, I share this from the depths of my soul. The religious leaders, in particular, the rabbis, the scribes, the priests, were not always that interested in us. In fact, they often looked down upon us. They referred to us as people of the land, meaning that we were just common working people. Often our fingernails had dirt. Our bodies were not the most presentable. Always upon us as shepherds, there was the smell of the sheep. And when I would go on occasion with my family to synagogue, I felt so uncomfortable. Indeed, I felt guilty. Because as the rabbi would teach from the Holy Word, all the do's and don'ts of the ceremonial law, I knew there was no way that out in the country, on the hillside with these sheep, could I keep all the ceremonial directives and demands of our Judaism. And so often I felt unworthy to come and to worship and to be a part of the congregation. But what about this baby? What about this baby born in the manger, the baby called Jesus? To tell you the truth, and I seek to do that this morning, we shepherds just kind of lost track of this person. But over the next 30 years, on occasions, I did find myself wondering about that particular night, that most remarkable night so long ago. But about 3 years ago, just out of the blue one day, there was an air of excitement. People were talking and whispering. There was this new interest in our land, in what was happening. This new excitement began stirring even among us shepherds. And as I listened to learn the cause, the reason for this new enthusiasm, I learned that there was an unusual young man, a carpenter from Nazareth, who had begun a ministry of preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. And I learned that this itinerant preacher was not rabbinically trained. He was not really accepted by the leaders of Judaism. He just came out of nowhere and began preaching and teaching a new gospel, a new understanding of faith and religion. And from this itinerant preacher, we began to perceive that authentic faith is not about keeping do's and don'ts, but about relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with our fellow strugglers, and an innermost relationship with self. This young man was making a dynamic impact upon our nation, our humanity. We learned that from some that had seen him, he could even perform miracles, that he could heal the sick, restore strength to the lame, sight to the blind. Some folks even said he could raise the dead, that there was a son of a widow, her only child, and her son had unexpectedly died. And en route to the cemetery, Jesus and his disciples came up upon this procession, and Jesus restored that boy from death back to life. I'm told that much of his preaching is about abundant life, a new term for me. Abundant life that begins here and now and never ever ends, not even after death. Of particular interest to me concerning this itinerant preacher is the fact, from what I've learned, he often refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Now, can you imagine that? When the priest and the scribes turned thumbs down on us shepherds, here is this unlettered, uncredentialed peasant preacher saying words that mean much to me as he calls himself the Good Shepherd, and hence he refers to those who listen and follow as the sheep of his fold. I'm told that some people who had been with him even began to think that he might be the Messiah. Now, how many times have I heard this through the years? Periodically, the rumors will emerge, and there will be people to say, even to declare openly, this man is the Messiah. But all those previous messiahs were simply imposters. Maybe this man is different. For some 3 years now, our nation has really been turned upside down because of the presence and the preaching of this prophet from Nazareth. Finally, I could tolerate my curiosity no longer. I must know for myself. You see, I had been hearing about this man. I didn't even know his name. I knew that he was a preacher, a teacher, a miracle worker, and that he moved about our countryside with 12 disciples, but I could no longer not know him. And so one day I stopped in the village and I said, "Tell me this man's name. Just who is he?" And I could not believe my ears. There were those who said, "He calls himself Jesus." I felt like lightning had just struck me. Jesus, of all the names this guy could have, his name is the very same name of that baby born more than 3 decades ago in the manger of Bethlehem. So what must I do? I knew I must do something, much like that night as we went into Bethlehem. There was this burning, this drive, this propelling need to know. And so I met with my shepherd buddies and told them I wanted to go and find this man. And they sent me with their wishes, and so I began to search for this man. It was there in Bethany. I asked a group, "Where is this Jesus?" And they said, "Well, for the last several days, he's been in Jerusalem. He's been coming back here at night to sleep with the family of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but during the day, he's in the holy city." And so as fast as I could, it was on Friday, I set my face toward Jerusalem. And I felt like I couldn't get there fast enough. But before too long, I could see the city of Jerusalem. And again, my heart was beating so quickly, it almost burst. As I was about to enter the city gates, I looked to the side. And there on a mountainside called Golgotha were 3 crosses, and a man was being crucified on each cross. Now, I'd seen this before. It's a rather common occurrence in our nation. The oppressing Romans utilized crucifixion often publicly to keep us Jews in line. And so I'm trying to get by those crosses and not look, but again, something forces me. And so I stop. And I see some soldiers taking a man down from the middle cross. And I think, it's all over for this man. I wonder what his crime was. Why would Rome crucify this man? And as I looked up toward the top of the cross upon which the man had been taken down, I saw an inscription. You won't believe it. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Could this be the Jesus that I'm looking for? Could this be the one who was born as a baby in the manger of Bethlehem? And so I made my way up the hill, and the soldiers were giving the body of this Jesus to 2 men in fine apparel. You could tell they were from the upper crust of our Jewish culture. And so I said, "Forgive me, sir, but could I speak to you for a moment?" And one of the 2 men said, "What may we do for you?" And I said, "Who is this?" And they said, "This is Jesus, the Messiah." And although we are members of the Sanhedrin, I learned their names were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They said to me, "We have been followers of this Jesus for the last couple of years. He had no place to be buried. Unless we had taken his body, it would have been left on the cross for all the vultures and for the elements of the air." And so they shared with me that in their love for their now dead Savior, they were going to bury him in a tomb nearby in a garden. Oh, I couldn't believe what my ears were hearing. This is Jesus, the man from the baby boy that I saw some 30 plus years ago. With the Sabbath soon to start, the Sabbath, as you know, begins on Friday evening at 6. And you can't be out or you violate the law. And I couldn't afford to be arrested or put in some cell And so I quickly found me a place to stay that night. All the next day, indeed through early Sunday morning, I kept wrestling and struggling. I thought that after all of my exhaustion, I could rest, I could sleep. But dear Christmas friends, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't fall asleep and catch any rest. And so all night until Sunday morning as I left my room, I was wondering, what about this? How could it happen? And as I was leaving Jerusalem and going back out to my sheep, I saw several little clusters of people talking excitedly. And I wondered, what could be happening? Typically, this day, Sunday, is not really a day of commerce or activity as much as other days. And so before I left through the city gates, I stopped and said to some of the fellows in their little circle, "What's going on? What are you talking about?" And they said, "You haven't heard?" I said, "Heard what?" "Fella, you must be the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what has happened." I said, "Tell me." And they said, "The man called Jesus, who was crucified Friday, 2 days ago, is raised from the dead." Now that's incredible. And I wondered, how could this be? Could it really be true that this Jesus has conquered death? That he has been raised back to life, that abundant life of which he spoke? And so it was as I was leaving the city. Emotionally, I just couldn't be still. And so I found a tree, and I leaned up against the tree just to collect my thoughts. And dear friends, it was there that I heard again the angelic chorus that my shepherd buddies and I had heard 33 years ago. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill among all." Suddenly, then and there, on that Sunday day, I knew that Jesus, the baby born in the manger, the man who performed miracles, the man who was crucified as Lamb of God, the man who had now been raised to life, was one and the same. Then and there, in the words of your John Wesley, my heart was strangely warmed, and that burning sensation got even deeper and hotter. And I knew I must tell others every opportunity, every turn and twist in my journey. I must share with others the good news that Jesus the Christ has come. That he was born, that he lived, he was crucified, he has been raised. And it was then and there, outside the city gates, that this Jesus became my constant companion. For not only was he born in the manger, he was being born in my very heart, my very being. And so as I made my way back to my sheep and to my family, I couldn't wait to share with them my experience. In retrospect, I readily confess, I regret deeply all those years I didn't make Jesus a priority. Oh, I heard about him from time to time, but look at the years I've wasted. Like some of you, perhaps many of you, I thought I was too busy making a living, too busy doing other things that were good, but secondary to knowing the Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. You know, I wish that everybody knew our Savior. It's certainly too late for my generation, but dear Christmas pilgrim, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for this current generation. If you don't know the Son of God, you can. And like me, you can experience His presence, His power, His peace. And like in my heart, Jesus can be born in your heart. And there he will live and reign forever. Listen carefully. No one doubts or denies that the baby Jesus was born historically. Around 4 BC in the little village of Bethlehem, the city of David. Born there as a helpless infant to a poor mom and dad. Born in a barn, laid in a trough. Dear friends, it matters little that Jesus was born historically if he's not also born experientially in your heart, in the cradle, in the manger of your very being. And so this Advent and this Christmas season, let the Lord Jesus be born in you. Let him establish in you and in me and all of us the very kingdom of God, so that every day is an incredible day. Every day is a day marked and blessed and hallowed by the very presence and power of God, living in each of us for his glory and for the good of our fellow man. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is number 249. There's a song in the air. Shall we stand as Brother Kyung leads us in this beautiful Christmas message?
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains his fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy for the wonderful birth. For the virgin's sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. Hide the star rays to fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. In the light of the star lie the ages impearled, and the song from afar has swept over the world. Every heart is aflame, and the beautiful sing in the homes of the nations that Jesus is King. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throne. I will shout to you.